Welcome to Senior Perspectives. I'm Jean Duncan, and I'll be your host today. Senior Perspectives is brought to you by the Redwood Coast Senior Center and by MCTV. We're in the Mendocino Coast Television Studios, and as our special guest today, we have Elizabeth Swenson, who is the Executive Director of MCTV. And we're dealing with a little serious issue today because we're co-sponsors of this program, and I wanted Elizabeth to be on the program to help us to understand what's happening as MCTV has had their ownership of the building challenged and the other party was successful in court. So we don't know where we stand and whether we're going to be able to bring Senior Perspectives to you in the future. So Elizabeth is here to try to answer our questions in that regard.
Well, I hope this isn't the last Senior Perspectives, let's just say that. I think we'll be here for a little while. But it is clear that we have to leave the building. And probably the longest period of time might be 2 months. The shortest could be next week.
So, and we have to leave the building and the studio and everything that we need to operate.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to figure out how we would operate somewhere else. And as I understand it, We couldn't just, even if you had a building to move MCTV to, you would still have to equip it with fiber optics cables in order to broadcast. Is that true?
Well, we'd have to, it would not have to be in the same building that our studio is in. But yes, we have a very complicated, to me and to most people, fiber optic connection here that we're like a mini cable company. And when it was installed, they told us it was worth $50,000. And so if we were gonna move to think that that's what it's gonna cost. It could be anywhere, but it ideally it should be in some place that isn't, the ownership is not gonna be challenged in the future so that it never has to move again. You probably noticed in the newspaper, there's some suggestion that they would, the footlighters, the winning side in this case, would allow us to leave it here. And in the short run, if there is a plan that we can move forward someplace else, that may work. I don't see it as a long-term solution. This building will go through many transformations, and this is equipment that is delicate and this doesn't seem like a good idea.
Is it because you have three channels that it's so expensive, or would it be as expensive if you only had one?
I don't think there would be any difference in the cost, but I don't know that because I don't know too much about fiber optics, but this little teeny thing that's a little bit thicker than your hair holds an incredible amount of information, and I believe all three channels are in that tiny little thing that they have to connect with some other little tiny thing and go. So I don't think one channel or three channel makes any difference, but I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, but you would have to be in a place where, I mean, lawsuits are always kind of hostile, and you have to say bad things about each other, I guess, or they have been, certainly. And so it seems as though even if they're willing to keep it in the building, it would be awfully hard for you to coexist with someone if there wasn't a situation of trust.
Right, exactly. And I mean, by coexist, there's no way that this could maintain as a television studio and the footlighters could maintain or do what they want to do. So the only area that we would potentially work with would be the playback. This is my opinion at this point, but the playback area. And I still say that I don't see that as a long-range solution. Whatever, even if tomorrow somebody said, I have a place and you can move your equipment and it's yours, or, you know, we'll do something. The cable company has to move this equipment and they have to, like, engineer it. And in our franchise, actually, I think they're given 6 months to ever, you know, move something like this. So it's not something that can just happen. It's not like at home, you know, it's not like the cable guy comes out.
Right, yeah, so there would be a significant break in any case if you had to move to another building, you couldn't do it right away.
Well, it's interesting, yes and no. I mean, when we moved in here, the actual installation that happened here happened over a 2-day period. Not even a full 2-day period, because all the engineering work is done elsewhere. In other words, we'll still be running here and they'll be bringing the wires over to the other place and doing them and setting, and then we move the equipment and plug it all in and it goes. So
but they have to agree to do it.
It has to be paid for. They will agree to do it if it's paid for.
I see. Okay. So the cable company can't just say, well, we have 6 months to do it. We're not going to do it for 5.5 months.
Well, they can. They can. I mean, they, you know, they don't say it like that. They say it takes that amount of time to do all the work that's necessary. You know.
I know. But still, I mean.
But they. In other words, they have an agreement in their franchise that they have that amount of time. The chances are they wouldn't say, "Oh, I see. You really have a big, you know, whatever." So my hope is in the short run. We can figure out if there really is support for us to continue, and if there is, then to figure out how do we maintain something. And it may make sense to, you know, keep the playback equipment, the fiber optics, in this building for enough time to transition into someplace else. So all of that's conceivable. We could have sort of short-term trust potentially.
Ideally, that would be the best thing to happen then.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's all pretty fresh, so.
Oh, I know.
It's trying to look at what you know, what options there are. I certainly haven't explored all of them. You know, I'm sure there'll be other things will come up.
Yeah, and your board will probably have opinions or want to
I would
know.
Yeah.
I mean, want to know what the facts are and how
right.
What all the options are, and that'll have to be explored, and
right.
You know, and maybe if nothing's been proposed, they'll have to think of options and then work on getting them to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of community support could assure us of having a public channel in Fort Bragg?
Well, you know, I don't, in some ways, I don't really know the answer, but it seems to me that if the people that have some capacity to be helpful, which is local governments primarily, and people that have access to property or to, you know, money or to things that could be helpful, believe that, you know, hear from all kinds of people that there's a value in maintaining this, I believe something will bubble up out of that. You know, I'm not too much of a Pollyanna in some sense. You know, it may not happen. It may be that really there's about 100 people that really care about MCTV, and that's kind of it. And that would kind of be too bad, but, you know, it'll be what it'll be. I think, honestly, I've only done this because I think it is an important community capacity to maintain. It's not just like nicey-nice. We're like in this era of using video to communicate to people, and we have the ability to make that easy in this community and to train people and to, you know, to come to, you know, be able to gain kinds of experience that will be lost if we're not here.
And that would be helpful to people in making careers to young people.
Yeah, I mean, even in the past, there's been, we have a few famous people that actually came through the MCET training, you know, at the high school.
That's the thing that is so remarkable about having it here. And people are always saying in this community, oh, there's nothing to keep the young people here, and there's nothing to help them get careers, and there's no work here, right. and things like that.
Easy to say.
And there is certainly a possibility for expansion of the public television to actually employ people.
Well, I mean, actually, this is sort of a point, too. We do employ people, and part of the, and, you know, we have a great staff, you know, that are not going to have jobs if we die, which is also, you know, is very, it makes me sad.
Yeah. Well, and they don't make nearly enough money, I know, because they're practically volunteer.
they are sort of part-time volunteers. You know.
They work a lot more hours than they actually can get paid for with the ability of the station to pay them. But I'm sure they're happy doing it, and they're learning, too. So that's good for them.
I think everyone that works here is happy to work here, even if sometimes they might think I'm cranky or whatever.
For which you have a very good reason right now.
Yeah, I feel like I get to be cranky for a while.
Yeah, I've seen you in here getting the, you know, when the studio floods just about every winter. And then coming in here with the vacuum pump or whatever it is and cleaning up the place. So
it's actually going back to, I wanted to say though, it would be highly unlikely that we will have a studio per se, but I'm hoping there is some way to continue some level of production. But you know, a studio is, the audience can't be in here, but this is there's a lot of equipment in here, and there's three people here with cameras, and there's neat room for people to move around.
And so lights overhead.
So your average bedroom doesn't work, you know, to really be a studio, to do decent production. And it's always been my goal to always do the best we can in terms of production. And so that's probably going to suffer for a while. There are some people that say, oh, studio shows are so boring. You don't even need a studio. Well, some studio shows are boring, but I think Senior Perspectives is a great show. You know, I think there's other shows that work in a studio that are great.
I'm surprised at how often somebody comes up to me and says, oh, I've seen you on television. I love the show. I'm amazed at how many people see it in the community and in Mendocino in particular. Huh. And it's very popular for, you know, for a local television show.
Yeah.
You think nobody watches local television, you know, and then you find out, gee.
They actually do.
They actually do.
They, yeah.
And follow it, even, you know, the shows. But I grew up in Fort Bragg, and I had Mrs. Amack for a high school teacher, or junior high, I think, English. And then she went to work in the library, and then she started this public television in Fort Bragg, which was one of the very first, I'm preaching to the choir now because you know this, one of the very first public television channels with all three channels, the government.
It was one channel that covered all three things.
But they covered government and community affairs. Everybody might not know, but if you make a little TV show, you can show it on public television, and you can just bring it and they'll show it. So it has a lot of untapped resources, too.
I think, and actually some, you know, part of what it's been important to me and to the staff here is for us to be able to do more and more with less. And so, you know, we've actually done some, you know, lots of kind of community things like the CSA day where people come in. But we just did a little piece for the Kudos program that's really cute. The kids came in and talked about what they did. And we do that for like a membership fee to, you know, so $120, and we bend over backwards to try to help you as a nonprofit get word out about what you're doing and stuff. So, you know, and some people say, well, that's kind of small town, but it is kind of small town. I mean, it's like, why It's why sort of put that down, which I think some people do, because it's not so, it's not real flashy or something.
Yeah, or sophisticated. Yeah. But actually, you guys are pretty good.
We are pretty sophisticated,
yeah,
actually.
It's pretty polished compared with a lot of things. You know, just, I mean, it compares favorably with network shows.
No, I hear that all the time. And so that aspect of it without a studio is going to change, and not for the better. But, you know, again, my interest is to see if there's an interest in keeping the capacity. And then if that's there, then, it may take a while, but something else can happen. If it's gone, it is, like, really gone. Just like you don't go to the cable company, like, next year and say, okay, now we're ready to do it, because it's gone.
Yeah, and the opportunity is lost.
Yeah.
We have it now, and giving it up would be tragic. Because that's why I started talking about the women who started it, because it was one of the very first that in the country. And that was a lot of foresight for a little town like Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
They had 5,000 people here then. And
you know, it's interesting. I mean, it was like she had. I don't know her whole, but she was sort of a sophisticated person. You know, she had come from out of town and was involved in media, but the school system must have been in a much better shape that they could allow her to do that, and bought equipment, and you know, it's pretty phenomenal. Because, I mean, the school system is, you know, that's all we hear. We're going to hear tonight if you watch Channel 3, you'll hear, the school board issues. It never would have happened now, I don't think. And so it's a great thing that she did.
Yeah, and that's another thing that you won't know anymore, is the school board and the city council and things like that, that you put all the hospital board, and people following those don't have to go out and go to the meeting because they can watch it on the MCTV.
And they can also watch it online, and actually we would certainly if we continue to exist, we will continue to do things online, and that's a whole big part of allowing us to really be useful in the whole county. But you still need the capacity to produce, to do that. In other words, you have to have a staff who can go to meetings and cover them, and the equipment that turns it all in, and we do everything very fast. Like we're kind of experts at meetings, where it's we go in, we can do it pretty fast and get it on the air. And without a place and the equipment, you can't really work that well.
Well, it's important to have the meetings online too, because a lot of times you don't realize the import of some meeting and you don't go. And then you find out that there were some really pretty important decisions made there. And I found that with the hospital board.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really concerned. And then someone said, oh, I film it for them. Go back and watch it.
Must have been Jane.
Yeah, it was Jane. And then I did. And the whole meeting's there. You know, so you can find out what
you know about. Up to sometimes more than 1,000, generally between 800 and 1,000 people or visits we have a month to the site. They're unique visits. In other words, they're actually people that came to the site to actually look at something, as opposed to the robots and all that kind of stuff. And it's the first time they visit of each month. And many people have us on their bookmarks or whatever. So. It knows whether you've been there once a month or, so first time visitors a month is around times 1,000. And that seems kind of good for a small little television station in a small place. And people watch the meetings a lot. They watch a lot of seniors' perspectives as well. But I'd say
meetings.
And Coast
Currents, that's a really good program too. I watch that quite a lot.
That was something we started out of a class, which we also, have done a lot of training. Well, that's not going to happen until something changes. But we've really felt like it was a good idea and wanted to keep expanding it, actually. Maybe do it more often. And in fact, this month, we're going to have two Coast Currents because we have so much material, we decided to go ahead. So one is Sheriff Allman being interviewed or talked with Steve Antler about the book, about the Jerry Mello, that whole episode in our history.
Yeah.
And then about the train. So it felt like Coast Currents was something that we could, you know, we got some volunteers to help with it, and we did some stuff, and it felt like it was a contribution also, really.
Yeah. Well, Senior Perspectives is, except for Jane, I think we're all volunteers, totally new to television.
Jane?
Except for your staff.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Jane knew how to run a camera,
right,
because she'd been doing the meetings. But, you know, the rest of us knew nothing about television at all, and we were all trained right here for Senior Perspectives. And I think we do a fairly professional job, if I say so myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think over how many, there's been a huge amount, and there's been a huge improvement. I was a little rough in the beginning.
You might say. Yeah.
But no, I think it's a good looking show. I'm proud of the show. I'm glad we were able to be the sort of vessel for that to happen, you know.
Yeah. I think that we've always been led by one of your staff members to, and still are, you know, with Al doing the lighting and all that. But, and then before that, you know, we had
Troy.
Troy, yeah. And Troy did all those same things.
Right.
So that was really helpful. But the rest of us are all complete novices at the beginning.
Yeah.
And now we're almost professional.
You might something. Not be able to get a job in NBC, but, you know.
Oh, I don't know. Some of them probably could, but the camera people, maybe. But, anyway, it's come a long way, and we.
Oh, this was something that probably should. You know what? I have to. Let me interrupt for a second.
Oh, sure.
Just for a silly reason, that I wanted to say that I looked at my horoscope this morning in the Chronicle, and this is sort of a joke for me every morning. I really am not a person that, but I thought this morning's was great. It said this could be a hair trigger temper day. With the solar eclipse so close to Mars, weigh words and actions carefully. You don't want to set off a firestorm of controversy. And why that I'm reading that now is I just about did that when I pounded on the table. So I'll stop pounding on the table. I was insulted in one of the closing arguments of the other side said, well, MCTV is doing just what MCET did up at the school. Why don't they just move back there? And so it just like irritated me so much. I couldn't believe it because honestly,
it was just rudimentary there,
right.
But it was a start. I mean, and it was getting it registered and getting
right.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, but that's gotta hurt.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing, that misapprehension of the community,
right.
That it is, because it's not like that, people really. No, it's amazing what you and your little staff have been able to do, not only, you know, with the building even, with so few resources and financially and otherwise, you know, the staffing and everything else. But to keep three channels going, you know, 24/7.
Well,
that's pretty remarkable.
I mean, you know, it is a lot of things that play over again, and part of that is so it's there. You know, like we don't even. You know, I was going to say going into how so many people are anti-television, and they're anti the idea of people sitting in front of the television just like the. That isn't really who our viewers are. I don't think. I think they're people that, you know, either hear about something that they want to see, or maybe they stumble across it when they're looking at it. But there isn't our goal is not to turn people into robots, but to give them some kind of community stuff. So if things repeat, like people sometimes come back, or actually the oil hearings recently couple of people have said, oh, thank you for playing those again. I missed them the first time.
Yeah.
So reruns are sort of a part, but we also have a lot of new stuff, and we bring in some programming from other access centers that seems usually around health or building things, or and then, of course, Amy Goodman and Tom Hartman from out of the area. But
well,
our
what,
ideas
what I watch most of the time are the really late night, the arts from Santa Barbara, from University of Santa Barbara. Is that where they're from?
No, the classic arts scene?
Classic arts.
No, yeah. This is a mysterious, but it's a private nonprofit that has archived this enormous, huge library of clips of arts stuff, and they run it on, you know, the satellite, and we take it down from that. But it's just called the Classic Arts Foundation or something like that.
Yeah, I watch that a lot.
There's a lot of people like it.
Really wonderful performers and performances of things that are old, you know, so you can't hear them now, or you can't see them anywhere else.
Right.
And
right.
They're really amazing. Yeah. And some of them aren't so old, but, you know, some of them are.
Yeah.
And they're really interesting, like Maria Callas.
I know, I always love it when she's on.
Yeah. And it's not just opera. It's a lot of times it's light opera and some different things. But it's really good.
I wanted to get back to the lawsuit a little bit, if we could.
Oh, sure.
Because I wanted to say that almost everybody that responds to the lawsuit to me, of course, is shocked and aghast, and, oh, my God, how could this happen? And why don't you appeal? And so I wanted to say we might appeal. We have grounds for appeal. The main grounds, really, is factually, it seemed like the judge thought we had a lot of money. She writes that we have $330,000 that are unspent, and that's a complete ridiculous fiction.
You got that money over 8 years.
We got that, over 8 years.
And it's long gone.
Long gone.
Many things on equipment and building and whatever.
So we have somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 to our name. Period. Zip. The end. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that sort of colored her judgment. Like, what's your problem? Of course you could just move out. You know, you have all this money.
Yeah.
So, but the reality is with a appeal is, one, we'd still have to move out now. And so moving out is what we have to focus on, or our future. I mean, moving out or not moving out. In other words, the decision has to be kind of now, whether there's the support for us to continue to go and to try to find some solution or not.
Right.
Because how the law works, we have to go. That's just it.
Yeah.
And if you appeal, you can get it back, but would I want it back? I don't know. You know.
And we're running out of time, but the point is that you, even if you had something else to do, you would have to move out because there would be no way you could delay it while you did an appeal. So even if you appealed, you still have to move.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless somebody walked in with like $200,000 and had all these bonds or something, which we're not expecting to happen.
Yeah, you'd have to put up a bond in order, and then you probably, if they won again, you'd have to give them.
Then that money would be gone, and that person would have lost their money.
Right.
So we're probably
so
not going to do that.
Highly unlikely that'll happen. But anyway, it's you will keep us posted, and we'll have another interview with you as time goes on to see what's going to be the future of MCTV and also Senior Perspectives.
Well, yes, thank you.
So thank you very much for being here and talking to us about it so soon in the process, because I know it's painful. And
couldn't catch my breath on Monday, but, you know, it's 4 days later. So
it's difficult to even be able to summarize at this point because it's too new. So thank you for being with us on Senior Perspectives, and we hope to see you